last week, you know, you can do your homework, you can come prepared, read it before you get in, or read it later on during the week just to refresh yourself. But we'll be dipping into this passage and using it as our Bible base for the next number of weeks. And this morning, we're thinking about the Word of God. And we're thinking about how the Word of God, and to use a phrase that would be there, how the Word of God has always been trending. Now, I don't know how many of you use Twitter, either to tweet, you know, you got, is it 150 or so words that you can use just to status update of what you're at, to pass comment and what's going on in the world. And there are tweets that go viral, that just spread all around the world, and very often on news websites and things like that, or home pages of browsers and their news updates, you'll find the top five things that are trending in the world. Now, things that might be little things like something globally that went on, you know, the tragedy in London where the balcony collapsed, that was trending during the weekend. Also, things that are really nothing. Like probably, you know, Kendra doing a Bush Tucker challenge and I'm a Celebrity, get me out of there, would also be trending. So all kind of things, as it's popular, as it's on the increase, would trend. But the thing is, there are words that are there today and very often that are gone tomorrow. The things that are trending, that are highlighted, that are spotlighted, or spotlit, now, by tomorrow, won't be the in thing, won't be the now thing. They're here today, and then they are forgotten tomorrow. John wants to come with a mission. When he writes his gospel, he writes it with a mission, he writes it with a purpose, and he writes it to help some people uncover those philosophers that were searching for meaning and searching for truth. He writes for those to discover, like the Gentile readers who would be reading for the first time, not having any concept of God's one and only Son coming to the world to die on the cross, to be the Savior of the world, to be enable sin to be forgiven and for people to walk as children and become children of God. And perhaps for others to recover something that was lost, perhaps to the Jewish nation of Israel, who had an understanding of who God was, who was living in those traditions, who was looking for Messiah, but had somehow lost sight that Messiah was amongst them. His name was Jesus Christ. And John comes not just to speak eternal words, not just words that would be here today and gone tomorrow, not just words that were eternal, but John actually comes to reveal the Word who is eternal. Big difference that's there. And I wonder whether if you were to go through the address book in your mobile phone of people that you know, under what category would you put them in today? Would it be those who are searching, those who need to uncover who God is, never found who God is? Would it be those who are discovering? You know, do you know people who are asking the big questions in life, but they've not found Jesus yet? Would it be those who are seeking for truth and maybe been far from God, and all of a sudden they're being hit with the revelation and the good news that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them? Maybe it's those who have had some kind of semblance or tradition of faith, but yet haven't found and encountered a life-changing revelation of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, King Jesus. And maybe it might help you to pray as we think about John's gospel in the next few weeks, we think about this chapter. You know, the people that I meet, the people that I sit beside in the bus, the people that I work beside, the people that are my friends and my family. Do they need to have the light of the world uncovered? Do they need to have the light of the world discovered? Do they need to the light of the world recovered in their life and in their lifestyle that's there? See, from John chapter 1, and also we read in Revelation last week, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, where the warrior king comes out of heaven riding at the front of the armies, and it says, the armies of heaven, it says his name is the Word of God. And in John chapter 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was with God, and that the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And also in verse 14 it tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I think if John was to say that the word who's always been trending, I think John would use the following hashtags, which is what it is if you're going to start a trend, for those of you who don't know, going to post a tweet. You'd put a hashtag and then you'd put your description of what's going on there. You know, hashtag was, hashtag was is, and hashtag was is will be, so you don't put spaces in for those of you that aren't up in au fait with this. If the word was to be put out there today, if there was to be tweets that were to be put out about the word of God, then it would be, he was a hashtag was because he always has been. Hashtag was is because he's present here today by his Holy Spirit. And hashtag was is will be because he's eternal. And we read that at the end of time, then there he is at the armies, riding out at the front of the armies of heaven. Hashtag was, hashtag was is, hashtag was is will be. And I think that that John, this beloved, this loved disciple of Jesus, he wants to affirm, number one, the deity of Christ. He wants to say to people, you're looking for truth, you're looking for God. Let me tell you that the Word, who is Jesus, was with God in the beginning. He says that in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You go back to your origins, you go back to your roots, here it is. Here's Jesus. Here's the Word of God, and he's there. Uncovering and affirming the deity of Christ. He wants to reveal the directive that was over his life, his mission, if you like, to the world. And we read about it in verse 17. It says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. We've sung about grace. Many of us in this room will have experienced the grace of God, which is God keeping from us what we deserve, which is the wrath of God, because we are sinners who have done wrong in the sight of God, whose destination should be hell. And that we've experienced his grace, not just God keeping from us what we don't deserve, but God giving us what we don't deserve. Keeping from us what we do deserve, giving us what we don't deserve. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of faith, the gift of eternal life, being able to call God Father, knowing that we will spend forever and ever and ever in heaven with God, based on the claims, the promises, and the resurrection of Jesus. Not on anything that we could do, but based on everything that Jesus did as he was nailed to the cross and as he died on the cross, he took upon himself our sin so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. So he's affirming the deity of Christ. He's revealing the directive that was over his life. And I think that John also wants to declare the rights of a disciple that we read about in verse 12. It says, yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that good news? You don't need to live your life as an orphan. You don't need to live your life with a disconnect from God. But you have got the possibility of becoming a child of God and living like a child of God. So what were the declaring the rights of the disciple? It's to believe and it's to become. I want to ask you, church, this morning, are you believing and are you becoming? How becoming of you? Are you believing and are you becoming? Are you believing in his name? Because it says there, yet to all who received him. So if you're going to be a child of God, you've got to receive him. You've got to welcome him into your life. To those who believed in his name. The power of his name. That his name is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Are we believing in his name? And therefore, are we becoming the children of God? Being changed from glory into glory. That we are children of God. You know, our surnames, if you like, change. Stay the same, but our surnames change because we're adopted into the family of God. But we're also becoming, because we're becoming children of God, being more and more and more like Jesus through our language, through our life, through our lifestyle. Now, some people might ask, why bother with this passage? Oh, it deals with beginners. Yeah, Jesus, he's there in the beginning. Yeah, that's good, that's fine. It's still relevant today because people have still got big questions about life, about existence, about purpose, about the hereafter. They still continue, and lots of people will package it in different ways. But they're still asking those same big, basic questions about life. You know, that's why space agencies spent millions of pounds to put that satellite up and then to put that rocket down onto the meteorite, because they're looking for the origins of life. All they need to do is turn to John chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2, and I'd have only taken a million from to reveal that. I mean, I was doing them a deal here, but because it's philosophers that are still asking questions. Maybe the title of the philosophers now, we maybe call them secularists, and we've got a militant secularist, a very small secularist society, but we've got a militant secularist society that's trying to push God to the boundaries. You know, I was hearing somebody who was quoting a government minister who's secularist, saying we want Christians out of the political arena and out of the agenda. And that government minister said, if you do that, you won't have a food bank in Scotland. And also made the comment that, you know, there's still more people going to church on a Sunday than there are going to football on a Saturday. I said I wouldn't mention football again today. Have you noticed that you've got people who would describe themselves as being spiritual without having a faith? People who would want to connect with their spiritual side without surrendering to the cost and to the commitment of faith. They're searching. They're looking for truth. They just haven't come to the point of surrender yet. And you know these people. You live with them. You work with them. You might even be related to some of them. John chapter 1. The word has always been trending. The word speaks for them today. John speaks into a worldview of then and also a worldview of now, using the highest idea in philosophy at the time of this logos, this word that always has been, but yet he wants to raise it to another level. I read the newspaper reports were out this week, and there was some radio stuff that was on as well, saying that scientists are now saying that there is a force that's in the universe. You know, it was under that whole kind of Star Wars kind of lightsaber type thing that was going on. And I'm listening to it as I'm in the car driving along, thinking, duh, of course there's a force in the universe. It's called the Spirit of Living God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Of course there is a force that's in the universe. God is in the universe. Just people haven't encountered them yet. People haven't discovered them yet. People haven't recovered what has been lost yet. And you know what? As you shine with the light, as you illuminate, allow him to illuminate your life, then you give them an opportunity to encounter his light, his life, his word into their life. In classical Greek culture, logos was this rational principle of coherence that was in the universe. If you like, the life force that was in the world, or as Leon Morris puts it in New Testament theology, the Greek logos is like a world soul. A world soul that was there. A principle of rationality and sequence that ran throughout the universe. Or if you're kind of simple like me that says, you know, the idea of there's glue that holds this whole universe together. And for the Greeks in their original day, the logos was it. It was the highest thought and principle and thinking. It was this soul that ran right throughout the universe. It was this glue that held it all together. And John reveals that this life force is not just an energy, but is a somebody. And that somebody was God. And that somebody was also with God. And that somebody was actually the creator. So we could say that he's the initiator, he's the illuminator, and as we know in the New Testament, he is also Emmanuel. That's three I's for those of you that are taking notes. His name is Jesus. The creator who stepped into his creation in order that you might become a new creation. See, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man is in Christ, that he is a... Oh, say it with a wee bit of passion and feeling. That's like you've been up all night. If any man is in Christ, he is a... Oh, it's making it sound as though you actually might think about believing that one day. That's right. You're a new creation, that the old has gone and that the new has come. The Creator who's, thank you, Creator who stepped into His creation in order that you might become a new creation. And what is your purpose as you're a new creation? It's to live with the light of Jesus living in you and shining through you. See, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us, as it says there in verse 14. And the Word who was with God in the beginning, it proves a number of things. Number one, it proves the permanence of God, that He is outside of time, but yet He stepped into time to rescue His world who was succumbed to sin. The Word proves the purity of God, that the holiest of heaven came and surrendered Himself and became a sacrifice for sin, dying on the cross. That the Word who was with God in the beginning, but who the Word who became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us, it proves the power of God, both in His creativity, that He speaks the Word, and that which was not comes into being, but also the power of God that laid down His life and took it up again. When he was in that tomb and when He rose again triumphant, His authority over all of creation. I know we've said it before, but do we really believe it? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that dwells in you and it dwells in me. That we can have confidence as we step into this week, because we've got a God who is permanent. In a world that is changing, in a world that is shifting sand, that we have got a God who is permanent, who will never leave us, never forsake us. You are never on your own. That we can go into this week experiencing the purity of God. That God sacrificed His Son, sinless Son of God, who died for you and for me. Because we can't get into heaven. We can't make it in our own. Because Jesus died. Because we ask for His forgiveness for our sins. Because we receive His grace and His mercy. That we, as we prayed right this morning, first thing this morning, said we are seated in heavenly realms alongside Christ Jesus. That we couldn't make it into the presence of God, that because of the purity of God that is ours in Christ, that we can come into the presence of God and we can call Him Father. That gives us hope for this week, a holy hope for this week. And also, that we go into this week experiencing the power of God in our lives. Whatever situation you come up against, the power of God is greater than that situation and that circumstance. When everybody turns against you, the power of God is with you and the power of God is for you. When you face a challenge, a difficulty, whatever it may be, I don't want to just put labels on it, but you know what it might be, that difficult thing that you can't do in and of your own strength, the power of God operating in you and through you can and will make the difference. Whether you need God to do something creative, whether you need just know his authority and the power of His spoken word into your circumstance and into your situation, that we can know the Word who is permanent, the Word of purity, and the Word who is power into our life and into our situation. And those big questions that people ask, and they package in different ways, but the big questions about existence, about life, about the hereafter, you know, we can sum them up, the answers to them can be summed up in two words, logos and light. People are always asking the big questions, but the answer is the logos, the Word of God, and the answer is the light of God in their life. You see, the logos spoke and creation happened. The light shines and we experience His light. Verse 2 says, He was with God in the beginning. Before the world was created, Jesus was. Now, I wasn't very good at English in high school, mostly because I didn't go to the classes, which was very bad. Very bad. It's not as easy to skid school now, mercifully, because I'm now a father with children. And I have to confess, I failed my higher English. That was bad. It was wrong. I get sent to night school the year after I left school to resit my higher English. Which I got an A for. I'll just slip that in just to show you. But when we did English, I'm quite sure that's not right grammar either. When English was being considered as a subject, there were nouns and there were verbs. And verbs were doing words. Okay? Now, Gordon was talking. You know, that's what's happened in that sentence. And we have this word was. The word was. And we're expecting there to be, you know, a doing word that's going to be added in there, a verb to be added. Jesus was talking, Jesus was walking, Jesus was working, but Jesus just was. It's like the word status update. You know, on your Facebook page, you can put a status update, just letting the world know, as if they were really interested, what you were, you know, what color your toenails are today, and those kind of things. You know, what's the greatest thought that's in your life? Status update from heaven. Jesus was. And you'd expect maybe Jesus was this. No. Not was as well in a past, historical, distant sense, but was in an always has been sense, in an always will be sense. Always here, always there, always will be. This is the word of God to you and to me. See, John really wanted the church gripped by the Creator, who is Christ. He really wanted them engaged in the starter, who is a Savior, the root, who was their Redeemer, the initiator, who is Emmanuel, because he wanted them to get an idea that God sent his one and only Son. You know, this is the prelude into John 3 and 16. He really wanted them to get a grip of the idea of God who stood outside of time, who loved them enough, even when they were sinners and had gone their own way, that he would make a way for them to come back to God. He really wanted them to get a hold of the fact that they in themselves could not do it. They would never be good enough. Nothing that they could do, even in their best day, would even come close to God. He wanted them to know that God gave his all. He gave his very best. This word that was truly, fully God, who put on flesh, who became fully God but fully man, dwelt amongst them. Not a random chance, but a redeeming Christ who came so that they didn't need to spend eternity in hell far from God, but so that they could be connected to their Creator. So what about us? What about us today? What does this mean really for us in our life as we launch out into the rest of this week? Well, John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3 shows us the authority of the word. That if the God who can create out of nothing and this world and this universe comes into being, that the elements submit to him, then maybe, just maybe, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that's going on, whatever it is that surrounds you and that comes against you, maybe, just maybe, God is bigger and greater than that. It reminds us of the creativity of the world, different facets of creation, and yet God knows everything about you. On your good days, on your bad days, on the very ordinary days. He knows where you live. He knows the orientation of your heart and your mind. Everything about you. He created you. And he calls you child. That should bring some comfort. And we also think about the power of the word that brings the life of God and that brings the light of God. See verse 3, where we read that nothing has been made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Greek word that's there is rather than being were made, said came into existence without him. It's proven that God is this creator who creates out of nothing. And it helps us and to help us in life. Well, Jesus is the living Logos. We read about that in John chapter 1. The Bible is the written Logos in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We say the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And really that verse drills down and says the word of God gets right into the core of who you are. It exposes the hearts, exposes the motives of our life. And the word of God wants to direct our path. The word of God wants to bring us close. But to know that the word of God isn't just something that's dry and dusty and distant, but something that's right up close and personal, involved and engaged with and in your life. And the Holy Spirit is also, he's the spoken Logos. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." The Logos speaks, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that the Holy Spirit, the spoken Logos, into our lives. You know, sometimes we speak things in God, don't we? And we think, man, where did that come from? You're talking to somebody about faith, and all of a sudden, you speak a word, and it comes with an authority. It comes with a relevance. It comes cutting right into their situation, you know, that's there. And it's like, man, it's the Holy Spirit is a spoken Logos into that situation. Sometimes, you know, the scripture that just comes into your mind and you speak it over, I pray it over a situation like Psalm 71. It's like the written Logos, it just is that fresh cutting edge that's on it and comes in. And if we can build all three Logos lifestyle, we will not go wrong. Jesus, the living Logos. The Bible is a written Logos. The Holy Spirit is a spoken Logos into our life. Who enjoys a word search? Yeah, some folks are into Sudoku. Some folks are into crosswords. Word searches would be, you know, if you're going on holiday and you're maybe looking for a puzzle book to take with you, you know, a word search over the rest of them would be what it would be for me. But in a word search, the answers are hidden in plain sight. They're there. They're contained within the grid. If you're looking for it, then you will find it. And I think John invites the world to go on a word search through John chapter 1. The answers are in the grid of life. The answer, whose name is Jesus, is there in plain sight. There are many people who are searching for the word in the word search of life. They maybe even don't know it yet, but you can help them as you let the light of his life shine in you. This week you're going to encounter people and they're going to need the light of God in their darkness. You're going to encounter people that this week that they're going to need to experience not just the light, but they're also going to need to experience the Logos. And they maybe don't know what that is. They don't know where it is and how to find it. You can show them. You can show them where the answers is. And you know, if you do a word search, it may be the most infuriating, but maybe the greatest thing, when somebody just comes over your shoulder and says, there, it's there. But it allows you to get on to the next thing. And maybe this week in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to look over the shoulder of somebody's life and say, there he's there. See it? It's just there. You've been looking for it for ages. Maybe you've been looking for it for years and you haven't seen it yet. There it's there. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray, would we? Spoken about people searching, discovering, uncovering, recovering. Searching for truth, searching for light, searching for God, searching for Jesus. And this morning you've got an opportunity to find him, to receive him, to believe and to become a child of God. Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he will own our name before his Father and the angels in heaven. So this morning, as we conclude our time together, I would just like to give an opportunity for anybody that's here this morning who's maybe never prayed that prayer before, never called out to God before, never invited the Lord Jesus Christ to take charge and take control of their life. And this morning, maybe as you've listened, maybe some things have just slid into place that all you've been looking for isn't just a force, but is a person. A Savior who came from heaven to die on the cross so that you could be forgiven. Maybe this morning don't even know what to pray or how to pray. And I wonder if I prayed a prayer, then maybe you could pray it too in your heart and believe it and mean it. And say, Father God, thank you for the gift of your word, who became flesh. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you aren't just there at the start of creation, but you stepped into your creation to win it back and die on the cross to say sorry to God for all the wrong things that I have done. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that death was not the end, but you are alive and alive forever. I choose to follow you. I choose to make you my best friend, and that you are my rescuer. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Now, I'd like just to give an opportunity for you to respond publicly to that. I won't call you out, but perhaps this is to signify that you've prayed that prayer and meant it with all of your heart. Well, nobody's looking around the room, please. If that was you and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I'd like to ask you to raise your hand as a sign that says, Gordon, I prayed, I meant it. I want the word, I want the logos, I want Jesus in my life. Is there anybody this morning, just as I'm looking around the room, who prayed that prayer? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Well, nobody's looking and talking, please. Is there anybody else? And Father, we thank you for a fresh commitment to you today. We thank you for decisions that are made in this place today to love, serve, and follow you. Lord, I want to pray that your word would be on our lips and in our heart. Lord, I want to pray that your power and your authority and your purity would be in our thoughts this week and in our actions this week. Father, give us a confidence of the fact that you have always been, always will be, that we can say that the word was, that the word was, is, and that the word was, is, will be. Lord, help us to introduce other people to the word become flesh, our friend, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Man, worship team.